So we are returning this morning to our look at the book of Romans. We are in chapter 13, and we'll be looking today, I'm going to read verses 8 through 14 for context. We'll be looking specifically at verse 11 and pulling it just a bit out of that context without doing any harm to the text. But we plan to come back next week and put that back in. But in order to sort of go along with taking the Lord's Supper this morning and having new members join the church, we are going to look at this in that particular way. So I'm going to open with a story from the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and much of this information is found in other Gospels as well. It was the night before Jesus died. He had just told the apostles very clearly what was about to happen. And Caiaphas, who was the high priest in his palace, the chief priests, the elders, the religious authorities were plotting his murder. Jesus gathered with the 12. He washed their feet. He sat to share the Passover meal with them. He knew full well what Judas Iscariot was about to do, that he was part of this murderous plot, which would also include religious officials and military and government officials. Jesus shared the words with the 12 that we will share in a bit. Take, eat, this is my body, and drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Then Matthew tells us when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. Peter answered him, very typically Peter, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and they said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping. Their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. And he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So suddenly the sleepy disciples were confronted by a mob, led by Judas, with the temple guard and the Roman soldiers in tow. And suddenly, desperately, Peter lashes out in one weak attempt to act in Jesus' defense. Then Matthew tells us, all the disciples left him and fled. Let me sum that up in just a few bullet points. Jesus told the apostles clearly what was coming. They were players in the most important story of all time. Jesus served them. He fed them. He took them with him to the garden to pray. He told them they would fall away. Peter rebutted Jesus, and all the disciples did the same. Then Jesus said these words, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. I can imagine Jesus looking at you and saying, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And they fell asleep. In his dark hour, they fell asleep. Once, twice, three times, the men who were selected by Jesus, taught by Jesus, discipled by Jesus, saved by Jesus, went to sleep when he pleaded with them to watch and pray. I'm not going to read the context. I'm just going to read this one verse. Romans 13:11. "Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep." Those closest to Jesus on the night before he died let him down. In the moment where they should have stood the strongest, they went to sleep. They physically went to sleep, but they also were sleeping on the job, right? Which is more than just physically sleeping. They were letting Jesus down. And what Paul is talking about in verse 11 here in Romans 13 is not physical sleep, but it's to be cautious about not letting Jesus down that same way, against being lackadaisical. Not talking about physical sleep. He's talking about sin, ignoring sin, participating in sin, even calling sin good. And again, if Lord is willing, we'll look at the details of that in the weeks to come. But for today, I want us to consider Paul speaking to the church in 2023. The church across the globe, the church in America, the church in Delaware, the church that meets in Dover at the Calvary Community Center. If the hour had come some 2,000 years ago to wake from sleep, is not the hour surely here now? All across Europe, churches have fallen asleep. There's exceptions, of course, but the church has largely fallen asleep. Not long ago, I used to say frequently that in the northeastern United States, the church has fallen asleep, but we don't restrict it to the northeastern United States anymore. It is falling asleep across the country. There are exceptions, of course, but the church is falling asleep. Part of that is by being lackadaisical and not doing what the church should do, but also actively doing things that the church should not do. We fall asleep by not attending church, by not paying attention to the Bible. We fall asleep. And that has allowed much of the church to even fight for sin. When the disciples slept in the garden, they missed the enemy approaching. They were startled, and then they ran away. Sleeping Christians, sleeping churches, will miss the enemy approaching. Then suddenly be startled when we see something that has happened. Some will run away. Some will be like Judas and join the other side. Interestingly, when Jesus was calling for his disciples to wake up, he was talking to the 11, but the one who had fallen most asleep wasn't even there yet. And that was Judas, who had fallen asleep to such an extent that he was blind to who Christ was and what was most important. And what we're mainly talking about Christians here, the very first waking up that any person needs to do is waking up to see who Jesus is. By waking up and seeing their state in sin and what their destiny is without Christ. And at the same time, Jesus is extending his hand, the same hands that were crucified for them. He's extending his hands and offering them rescue. So unbelievers need to be nudged awake. We need laborers to go out into the harvest with the gospel. But Christians also need to wake up. And we need to, as Paul is saying here, stay awake. So what do we do? How do we do that? How do we stay awake? Or to use James' words, how do we keep ourselves from being polluted by the world? Or to be in the world and not of the world, as the Bible also commends us to do. How do we do that? How do we live in this world in it and not be of it. Well, there's an old saying, ships don't sink because of the water that's around them. Ships sink because of the water that's inside them. For us to stay afloat in this world, for us to stay awake in this world, it's keeping what's of the world out of us and keeping what's of Christ inside us. So just looking at this one little half of this one verse today, I want to consider four things, four ways, gifts from God that help us to stay awake, help us to stay afloat, help us to be in the world, not of the world. However we want to do this, they're all saying something very similar. These four things that will help us. Come to church. Join a church. Participate in church. Go out from the church as the church. Number one, come to church. And just to be clear, we completely understand that there are people whose health and physical conditions prevent them from attending church on Sunday morning. We get that. We're not talking about that. That's why we continue to live stream our services and record them so that people who are physically unable to attend can, as best they can, be part of the church family. We also understand that sometimes someone's sick for a Sunday or attending to someone who's sick or that travel or work would force them to be out of the church. We understand that. But for everyone else, you ought to come to church. Always come to church. You should be in church every Sunday. Come to church. It helps us to stay awake. God ordained the church, the local church. He ordained the greater worldwide church, but he also ordained the local church to be a community of Christians, to be a family of Christians. When we gather on Sunday mornings to do, as the phrase I love to borrow from Ligon Duncan, is where we read the Bible, we sing the Bible, we pray the Bible, we preach the Bible, we see the Bible in baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those things that are commanded by Scripture for us to do, as well as the commandment to assemble, we can't do those if we're not here. But if we're here, we're holding one another accountable. We'll keeping one another awake, keeping one another alert, with our eye out for the enemy and our eyes on Christ, stirring one another up to love and good works. Come to church. And then join a church, like we're going to see today. I think when you visit a church, it's like dating. I think when you regularly attend and start to become part of the church and start to make a commitment, that's like engagement. And I think joining the church is like marriage. It's the commitment. The Bible tells us how to manage the affairs of the church. In all those ways, it indicates that there's a group of people who are in some way identified as a local body of Christ. And so when we do this, when people join the church, we grow this light that we're called to be. This light that shines into the community. And this light that we pray helps wake them up and helps keep us awake. The third thing, to participate in church. As our new members come up this morning to publicly make the commitment to be members of Three Stones Church, we'll ask them if they've accepted Christ Jesus as their Savior and Lord. We'll ask them to fully participate in worship, fully participate in our efforts to reach others in the name of Jesus. If they'll pledge to be disciples and to fully participate in our efforts to disciple others. And by that I mean, will you fully be the part of the body that God is calling you to be? We're not calling everyone to do the exact details of the same thing, but all doing the same things together as a body working. Sometimes we have to have teams. Sometimes we need committees and people to set up tables for lunches and that sort of thing. But the main thrust of the participation in our church comes down to the name of the church. Three stones is worship, evangelism, and discipleship. Sometimes to wake up, you need to get moving. Worship and evangelism and discipleship are the way that we get up and move. And that brings us to the fourth point. Go out from the church as the church. So we get up from our Sunday service and we go out into the world to continue to worship God in all our lives, keeping him at the center of all we do. Worship is all of life. Keeping our eyes on him keeps us alert and awake. And we go out from this church service and help others follow Jesus. So discipleship doesn't all take place in Sunday school and during the worship service, but in other ways that we meet in small groups and one-on-one. We help others to follow Jesus, help others to look more like Jesus. That accountability helps keep us awake. And we go to share the truth of the gospel. We go to share the truth of all of Scripture. So we evangelize. We faithfully tell other people about Jesus. We do this by telling the truth, by telling the truth in love. Not fleeing from the truth like the disciples fled from the garden. We must be the church. We must be as Jesus pled to the disciples, as Paul calls to us. We must not sleep. We must not let the enemy approach unaware, and we must not run away. Today, on this day, we will strengthen Three Stones Church. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we take communion in community. Right? We gather together to do that, and doing this strengthens us. We strengthen our church by adding to the family with new members joining the church. So as we consider all these things, and as we consider new members coming into the church, there's a song we're going to sing. And we're going to sing this song to the new people joining the church. And we're going to sing this song to one another as an encouragement. And we're going to sing this song as a matter of worship and as a prayer for God to help us accomplish these things. And these are the words we're going to sing. And it's just full of Scripture. Oh, how good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith, and unity. Where the bonds of peace and acceptance and love are the fruit of his presence here among us. Oh, how good it is on this journey we share to rejoice with the happy and we weep with those who mourn. For the weak find strength, the afflicted find grace when we offer this blessing of belonging. Oh, how good it is to embrace his command to prefer one another. Forgive as he forgives. When we live as one, we all share in the love of the Son and the Father and the Spirit. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out his word for this purpose. Till the whole earth sees the Redeemer has come, for he dwells in the presence of his people. Lord God, may your presence, which we know is with us, may your presence be so obvious to the world. May we be alive and awake as a church. May we be aware that the world is full of enemies, some loud and some quiet. Some obvious and some not so obvious, but none escaping your eye, Lord. Give us your vision. Oh God, that you would be glorified and that many would come to know Jesus. Amen. Christ is indeed the anchor to whom we hold on to now. He is indeed the one, the victorious King who will come back and take us home with him. And he is the wondrous Lord, do all worship, that we will spend eternity with. In the meantime, hold on to that anchor Stay awake. Stay alert. Do the work of the Lord, that many might come to know that Jesus is Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you all the health, happiness, wholeness, all that is peace with God. May he give you shalom.